Steven Spielberg presents Back to the Future, a Robert Zemeckis film. Marty leads an ordinary life.
No McFly ever amounted to anything in the history of Hill Valley.
Well, history is going to change.
And 1985 is not his year. But Dr. Brown is about to change all that.
Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
He's sending Marty 30 years back in time.
It works!
It's a flying saucer from outer space!
Now, he's trapped in the past.
This has got to be a dream.
About to meet...
Chocolate.
...his future father.
He's a peeping Tom.
Wow!
And he's making an impression on his mother.
He's an absolute dream. And he can sleep in my room.
Anything you do could have serious repercussions on future events.
Now, he's got to make his mother and father fall in love.
For crying out loud, I haven't even been born yet.
And only Dr. Brown... can help him get back to the future.
Are you telling me that this sucker is nuclear?
Precisely.
Michael J. Fox.
Whoa, this is heavy.
Christopher Lloyd.
There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
Back to the Future.
Welcome back to Back to the Movies at thetailgatesaturday.com. I am Ted Flint, joined by Sean Shantes Festman and Jake Voss. We've been busy doing gambling podcasts over at Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. And we decided we're going to come back. And I picked this movie, and it's kind of serendipitous about why I picked this movie. Because, I was just listening to another podcast, and it's like the 40th anniversary of this. And also, I saw, the dates of this movie. So we were doing Back to the Future, came out 40 years ago this summer. But also in Back to the Future, they go back to 1955 Hill Valley. And that happens on November 5th, which is yesterday when we're recording. I have no idea what the fuck we're going to drop this. But yeah. But as always, like I said, Back to the Movies is a podcast in which we revisit movies we have not seen in a minute. Or maybe some of us haven't seen. I feel like we've all seen Back to the Future and the two sequels. But before we get started, we are going to spoil the shit out of this movie in 90 seconds or less in case you have never seen it. And I tried doing a Doc Brown, Rube Goldberg machine. Rube Goldberg machine? That's a judge. Anyways, since the wheel has been used, sometimes we go back to the classics. So, yeah. All right. Jake Boss. My breath, it's a lot of effort to spin the wheel. All right, Jake, in 90 seconds or less, spoil the shit out of 1985's Back to the Future.
So I guess simply put, we're introduced to a high school student, 17 years old, I believe, Marty McFly, who is, best friends with some crazy old man, Doc Brown.
We're gonna get into that shit.
there's the beginning of this movie is kind of a little slow. It eventually gets into other than the giant amplifier speaker thing blowing up in his face and all the alarm clocks and stuff. But eventually, Marty gets sent to the past, 30 years in the past. And he has to work through getting back to the future, back to his own time. In that time, he has to prevent his mom from coming on to him and somehow figure out how to get his dad
fuck his mom.
Get with his mom, which him being there kind of messed up. He reunites with Doc Brown in the time. He has proof enough, convinces Doc Brown. So Doc, they come up with a plan. They know that the lightning strikes their courthouse clock tower at a certain time on a certain day, which is like a week from when he's there. And kind of craziness ensues. Basically, he coaches his dad up to not be such a coward, which kind of changes what the future looks like, obviously, when he goes back, but works his way back. And then we end the movie with Marty and his girlfriend meeting up with Doc and taking off and going to the future where Doc had been. So,
dude, this movie is so fucking good. And honestly, it came out before either one of you were born. So, like,
I will say, I wasn't sure that I ever watched this movie all the way through. And while watching it, I will tell you, I definitely had never watched this movie all the way through.
Have you seen the sequels?
Probably not.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well,
the second one place
three.
Takes place in 2015. No, three's fine. Fuck off of that shit. Three's fine.
Three sucks.
All right. Well, you don't like Westerns. That's fine.
So I love Westerns. That's not a Western.
To continue on that statement, I wasn't entirely sure because this movie and the sequels to an extent, I believe, they're so just pop culturally ingrained. Like it's just so gifs and just the stuff from
and
the
quotes and the things.
Like, all of it. Like I know all the characters. I know who they are. Like I know most of the major, a lot of the major plot points, and at least in this, and that's why I was like, I don't know. Like maybe when I was young, I had watched the movie all the way through, but I think I had seen chunks of the movie, and then with the pop culture stuff altogether that there's definitely parts of this movie I had never seen, so that was interesting.
I'm really interested to talk about this. So like obviously this came out when I was three and this was just always a thing, and like this we can talk about the second and third one when we get to them, but like second and third one have the expectations were so high after this one, but like this movie's crazy. Like, and like the backstories behind this movie, like the fact that like, I'll look it up here in a second. I can't even actually off the top of my head, but like they had another Marty. Eric Stoltz filmed the first 5 weeks of this movie as Marty McFly before they were like, he ain't working. And Eric Stoltz is in Pulp Fiction. He is the drug dealer. In case you're trying to think what Eric Stoltz looks like, redhead. He's one of those guys. So, he's the guy's like, don't you dare bring her back to my house. And then he shows up with her at her house. And then they like continue to film with him after they fired him, basically, while they were trying to figure out who the next like person was gonna be. And like his variation of Marty was basically more like a moody emo 80s kid. And like it's just wild trying to like watch this movie as not without Michael J. Fox. Like, what's that movie even look like? Like, what's it even?
Yeah, I think this is one of those movies that, to what you're saying, and also to the way, like, Jake is somebody who's a couple years younger than me, but in our generation of it's such a staple, it's crazy to think of anybody else doing it. Like, because he hits everything so well, and that is and I think top to bottom the casting in this movie, the way the actors portray their characters is incredibly good. Like I have notes on some of this as we start to dive into this, but the people involved just kind of, it's not even just playing their characters, they play off of each other so well. So incredibly well, whether it's Biff with Marty or Biff with George or George with Marty or, you know, Marty with young Lorraine or even old Lorraine when at the beginning of the movie, like, and the way their family is at the beginning of the movie, like, they all just, they act very well in the scenes that they're in. And it is tough to imagine anybody else doing what they did, especially people that normally not normally, but I guess are kind of known for different sort of roles, not doing that sort of thing. So it is, it's interesting to think about, but it is, I mean, it's an incredibly well put together movie, acted well, directed well, shot well.
I mean, it's Robert Zemeckis, who, I mean, obviously now, like, you guys know him as, like, the stop motion guy, but before that, like he did, obviously, did Polo Express, but, like, he had a 25-year run where he just knocked everything out of the park. Like, he did Forrest Gump. He did Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Like, and this is not near or there, but like I will fight motherfuckers that say the Polar Express is not good. We watch it every Christmas Eve. Like I understand like the glassy eye shit, but I love that movie. Like he also did he did all three Back to the Futures. He did Flight. Shit, he did Flight. Oh, he's a producer on Flight. All right, anyways. But like, yeah, like so goddamn good. And like what's wild me with the whole thing is like it just, like, I'm a big Stranger Things fan, but, like, this movie just feels like the 80s. Like, and that's the thing, like, I was, like, they don't make movies like this anymore where, like, stuff like that's set, like, in our time. Like, even, like, not saying, like, a Back to Future, like, it's set in 85. It came out in 85, which is wild to me, you know, like, obviously, neither one of you were around for those time periods. But, so, like, the DeLorean was a car before it became this car. Like,
right.
Here's a fun exercise. Imagine my ass trying to get into a goddamn DeLorean and how well that
when goes. I think I want to just say quickly, I can't imagine, like, this movie is Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd. Just to quickly comment on that point. Like, I don't know what this movie is if they're not in those roles, but it's not this. That's for sure. As far as the DeLorean goes, I probably not gonna say that I wasn't, I feel like I was simultaneously introduced to the DeLorean as actual car and also car from Back to the Future, probably as I grew up. But I would imagine that if you pulled people from similar ages as to me and Tez, that most people would say, yeah, that's the Back to the Future car, and not know that it's a real car. It was not that it was a real production car.
And
oh, absolutely.
Mostly because the car actually fucking sucked and didn't get made very long.
Right. Like, it literally is named after a millionaire named John DeLorean that, like,
right,
designed his own damn car.
It may have been different if that company actually worked and they didn't make a shitty product and it stuck around, but still. But the fact is that a lot of people most people wouldn't know that it was not just a prop.
And we skipped over the your guys' earliest memories. Like, I don't know when the sequels came out, but like they had to come out before you guys, right? So like this has just always been, I think, there.
The second
right?
one is 88 or something. I mean, they're pretty quick that they came out.
They came out 7 months between each other, so like I think it's 88 and 89. So like this is the, like, you know how the Matrix sequels came out the
two,
same year
two
this
is
they did this first
and... yeah and I don't know when I
also
first
89 there's 7 months
any
difference.
Of them, but I mean, I would have been 10, 12 years old probably when I at least remember actually watching Back to the Future for the first time.
Two was 89, three was 90. Yep. And I honestly have no idea as far as like the first time. Obviously, I don't think I've watched any of them all the way through, but as far as like they just became so ingrained and so common in pop culture in so many ways. Like,
yeah,
when it started coming around, like retro stuff or like creating things from movies that were actually kind of realistic, like Nike doing stuff, and like there's a lot of things that, you know, as we technology came around, that it was like between memes and technology and all that stuff, it
well, even like they had a cartoon. They had a fucking cartoon that I remember watching. And like,
really? That I didn't know about.
Yeah. And it was basically Doc's kids from the third one. But like, back in the 90s, man, everything was a cartoon. They had a fucking Rambo cartoon, man. Like, I mean, Rambo shouldn't have a cartoon. No. So, you know, like.
Or even, like, so even the flux capacitor, like being used as like a joke, or, you know, 1.21 gigawatts, or.
The like, fact that we all know stuff. That, like. I get so many things are just like the 1.21 gigawatts. I was thinking about the night when I was finishing it, like when he's telling Doc. And also, real quick, how old was Doc? How old was Christopher Lloyd when he made this movie? I looked it up just now. Before I forgot. Before I move on.
I didn't actually get his age. So how
old I just looked it up.
When he made the movie.
When he made the movie.
In 85.
I didn't click on his page yet, so I can't see it. So I can actually.
Let's. I mean, I feel like I got a low ball it because he just looked like that for.
Like,
because if you see like young Christopher Lloyd, he's.
Young Christopher Lloyd is in Taxi. That's it. Then he got old. Like, that's it. He was in Taxi. Right,
and he looks the same. He just doesn't have the white hair. And then he's just immediately 65 years old. See, I bet he's what, like 48?
I said 45.
46. So he is 3 years older than I am.
He's got that thing. There's some of those guys that have that. I'm a big NASCAR fan. I don't know if you know Mark Martin was a guy.
Yeah, I know Mark Martin.
He looked like he was 55 when he was like 35, and he's just looked like that basically forever. Like, now he's starting to look a little bit old.
So let's just do the math on this, because you guys touched on a minute, and I don't want to forget about, like, what the fuck is Marty doing out hanging out with Doc? So Doc, in the 30s, when the 55, when he goes back to meet Doc, let's say Doc is 30 years old. Sure. I don't know if he's 30 years old in 1955. He looks a lot older than that.
Sure, so, yeah. It's...
We'll give him 30 to make it less creepy.
He's not right? 30. There's no, he's not.
So how old is he in 55?
Probably... You have to make
God
him at
damn
least
it.
45
They show his
or
gravestone
50.
In fucking Back into the Future 3.
Go look it up. He's.
I'm looking at it right now. Doc Brown.
They do
age.
Not make him look young enough to be 30.
Doc Brown age. He was born in. Nah, that's. Thank you, Google.
They didn't do anything to make him look any different, which is where probably the biggest issue lies. Yeah, obviously that part is not all great. So
the Back to the Future novels state that he was born in 1920, which means he's 35 in the first in 55, which means he's fucking 65 in 85, which means a 65-year-old is hanging out with a 17-year-old, and fucking make that make sense in 2025 and make it not creepy.
He's an intern.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Marty's parents suck in the, like, beginning reality.
And but so he's in a band.
Yeah,
surely he has friends, man. Like,
so yeah. this is the some of the stuff that I had some of my first notes on is, like, where I guess I had kind of blocked out the... I've seen this movie... a handful of times, a good dozen times. I forget about at least that first like 15 minutes where Marty's at home with his family and his mom just seems
she's a drunk,
absolutely fucking miserable in life.
Miserable
and she talks about,
cathartic.
Yeah. And it is, we get the entire synopsis of the movie in this first 20 minutes, the foreshadowing of, well, here's why things happen, this is why we are where we are, blah blah blah. And yeah, and his dad's just a piece of shit, just getting trounced on by Biff and his uncle.
Oh my, all right, I want to get on that. Let me know when you're done.
We sort of get a second of conversation about that.
Uncle's in jail.
Yeah, forever, apparently, and just keeps getting denied parole.
But asshole Biff has two amazing lines in that first 15. Did you catch him? And like,
he's got a hand. Well, I guess it depends on what your definition of amazing lines are, because he is just going on a riff of, I was driving your car drunk and I spilled beer all over myself. So how are you going to pay?
Who's going to pay for this? I spilled beer all over it.
I spilled beer all over myself when I got smashed, when that car smashed into me. That was the one note I got out of the
beginning. I towed your car all the way to your house and all you had was light beer.
You loaned me your car without telling me it has a blind spot. Oh, is it the first car to ever be made with a blind spot?
Just like him, like holding up his tie, like the only place I got beer over when I got hit, like just fucking, just bad.
Yeah, 1000. And like I said, it's all of that first 20 minutes in the 1985 household sets the entire scene that Biff hasn't changed in 30 years. His whole family hasn't changed in 30 years. They hate who they are. Everybody's miserable. Blah 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 blah. And then we get to talk about Libyan nationalists for a quick minute.
Yeah. Also, before we get to that real quick,
gets a little touch racist, but
can we discuss for a minute how Marty has a girlfriend, Jennifer, who seems amazing, and that motherfucker is still like checking out women.
Yeah,
and she's just like going with it, like.
Well, she does kind of like, I mean, she reacts to it, but that was one thing that I didn't really make a note on, but very much stuck with me. I'm like, why? Like, what? Literally just why? As far as like, for the
you're already like, out punting your coverage here, buddy. Like, just like,
I just don't know. Like, what does it accomplish for the movie? It's not, I mean, I get,
I was the 80s, man. Fucking Fast Times are my high. Yeah, it's the 80s.
No,
this movie's PG.
I think like, part of it is supposed to build this storyline of where as soon as he goes back to 1955, he immediately starts playing this, oh my God, didn't know what I had till it was gone. I have to get back to my beautiful girlfriend who loves me. And because he even does the whole like, oh my God, Doc, she's just head over heels for me. Look at what she wrote on the back of this piece of paper. And yeah, it just says, I love you, and her phone number, which.
Yeah. I mean, it's the, I love you thing when you're 17 and.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. Right.
But
I guess it was supposed to build kind of like a Playboy, like.
He's got all this confidence, like swagger.
Like I think that's probably what it was kind of supposed to do in an 80s style, but.
But it doesn't do it well.
No, it's just like, that's not, it would be better to like have someone, like a girl come up to him and like trying to be flirty with him to build that.
And he just shuts it down. Yeah. Thing.
Like, so yeah, I didn't understand that. I don't remember what I was going to say now. There was something I was going to jump in with, but.
Yeah, it is an interesting kind of way to, like I said, maybe that's not what they were going for, but it is.
He seems to latch on quick to that,
oh my God, she loves me.
To go along
and I
got to
get back.
And building that like persona, then that kind of, I guess, like, not to jump ahead, but then the way that, like, his mom in the past is, like, attracted to his persona or attitude or personality or whatever, I guess. Like, that would be a justification for it. I just think it's a shitty way to try and make that a thing in the movie. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, that's the kind of the opposite way of how I would think you would want to do that, but. You know, I whatever. Again, it's the 80s, so they did shit differently, obviously.
I mean, they put dogs in time machines. And I mean, Einstein, like we discussed on the other podcast, Einstein's goddamn MVP of this movie. Like, Cobo's hitting some goddamn buttons. Yeah, that car's crashing.
Einstein just sits there in his seat.
Fucking Libyans with fucking missile launchers. All right. Yeah, like this movie's just very much a like a product of its time, obviously. All right, we're discussing. I don't know if I want to do favorite quotes already. All right, there's a very famous actor in a small ass role. Oh. And I don't see if any of you guys noticed him. He's a non-speaking part. Does not say a goddamn word in this fucking movie. Not very famous, but famous enough that like when I say his name, you'll fucking know who it is.
I didn't I will catch any of it. I didn't even look through stuff today. I have no idea.
So one of Biff's crews in the '50s is Billy Zane. From Titanic, Sean Stan. Yeah,
more than no, I know.
And what the Shadow. Billy
Zane's from.
Yeah, I know Billy.
Yeah, I wouldn't the name have.
Billy Zane. I couldn't list you a bunch of whatever.
Yeah, I wouldn't have recognized him on sight in 1985.
Why not? God damn it, man! Get your shit together. So, real quick question. You got a time machine. Also, like, Marty's a really good driver. What's more dangerous? Marty fucking around in the DeLorean on, like, what appears to be rainy-ass parking lot.
I don't think
well, Marty's a launcher. Really
good driver.
All right, either way, what's more dangerous? Him in the DeLorean, the Libyan nationalist missile launcher.
RPG.
Okay, sure.
It's different.
It is an RPG.
They're different.
Sure, I believe you. Or him riding on bumpers with a fucking skateboard.
Skitching on the skateboard in the beginning.
He's skitching.
Skitching? What the fuck is skitching?
I knew. Never played Tony I Hawk? Knew that. I knew when I said that. I knew it was going to come up. I knew I was going to say it.
What the
I
that's knew a fuck? That's a know. Fake ass word. What the fuck is skitching?
It's literally the definition of it is literally like grabbing onto a car on a skateboard.
Sure, and you yeah. just made that up. I imagine nope. that like whatever Urban Dictionary.
I've known that word since Tony Hawk Skater, Pro Skater.
Yes, that is in like Tony Hawk 2 from 1999.
Motherfuckers, I played two when you motherfuckers were in diapers. All right. So, like,
I'm sorry you don't know the word then.
Brother, I was not wearing diapers when I was 9 years old, for starters. I wasn't that far behind. skitching was absolutely a thing in the Tony Hawk games.
I've done it on a moped. Well, I've done it on a skateboard with a moped a couple times.
And I got that goddamn Superman song stuck in my head.
Hope you're happy. Yeah, it's absolutely skitching. And. It's funny to watch it happen in this movie and then, yeah, probably be a societal blind spot for 20 years until it pops up in a Tony Hawk game again. And no, then dude, apparently,
this movie never apparently went away,
another
man.
Another blind spot for another 20 years till we make this podcast.
I was listening to a podcast about this movie earlier and they're talking about how, like, this movie. Throughout the summer of 85, was number one and number two for 3 months. The only movie that knocked it out was they re-released E.T. And they were discussing, this podcast came out in 2020. They're like, how there'll never be another movie that does that. I'm like, except Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
That did it in 21. But like, man, skitching.
Skitching.
Either way, what's more dangerous? Fuck around with Libyan nationalists with an RPG.
Well, what involves guns and explosives. Yeah,
the ones with guns and
okay. Yeah. What happens to you if that fucker hits his brakes and you're right behind it skitching?
Then you
break a leg.
Brace yourself and slow down, or
you don't get shot 45 times
or blow up.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you guys know about me and my athleticness, but probably well, getting hurt pretty bad.
You did stab yourself in your hand trying to separate pork patties one time. So
I mean, it's been a minute since I hurt myself. I did really fuck myself up the other day trying to put a dog kennel on the back of a truck. Don't want to talk about it. Anyways, so
I love the fact that I made a specific note about skitching because I just knew in my heart that Ted was not going to know what
I didn't actually write it down,
I
but I
fucking refuse
about it.
To fucking believe it's a thing. All right, that's fine. Or do you think this movie created it then?
I doubt. Well, it probably put it in pop culture, but like skateboarding and stuff, like that stuff, like was a 70s like surfer thing.
Before I think skateboarding was obviously around before this movie, but I feel like this movie like made it super popular. Well,
that's what I'm saying. It's like sketching, like
the skateboard it probably helped. Was,
like
they sketching one more fucking time.
Sketching.
Like I've talked to my dad and some of my family before about how they were born in the 50s, but they grew up with some of those kind of house-made scooters and stuff. But they're like, we broke the handles off them. Like, we had skateboards before they were skateboards. Like, obviously, they didn't have perfect vulcanized rubber wheels and trucks and
trucks,
right, and they weren't built to do tricks on, but we could go down the road with them.
God damn.
And so they probably weren't grabbing onto cars riding behind them with a pallet wood.
All right, speaking of skateboards, some
wheels, but
and I kind of figured we'd wait till we got there. But so like later in this movie, and normally I try to like be in a direct line of discussing the movie, but you know, fuck it, it's a time travel movie. At one point, he fucks around with Biff and his cronies, and he has a skateboard. And they're running after him on foot. You're not as fast as runner as you're still kicking the skateboard. Like I swear to God, like I could run faster than a motherfucker on a skateboard just kicking it. Like there's no way he's like it's quicker to be on the skateboard, right?
I think there are certainly people that could be faster than a runner on a skateboard, but if you're taking, I think your general premise, I would agree with. I kind of thought that as well. It's like, I don't know, you might get chased down.
I mean, it helps him when they try running his ass over and murdering him.
He's really good. Like... He's really good on a skateboard. Like that's kind of supposed to be part of it. And so, like, an average high schooler running after somebody that's really good on a skateboard,
But also, like, when they try literally fucking homicide in his ass with the car, it comes into, like, we don't have to worry about Biff in the future because he's in jail for fucking manslaughter. Fucker tries to run his ass over.
Well, if not that, then sexual assault, so.
I mean, we're going to get into that. For PG-rated movie.
It was before PG-13, right?
Yeah.
It's gotta be right. It has to be right there. So 90? No, it's 80s. It's Temple of Doom
is what made it happen. 87 or something like that.
Gremlins and Temple of Doom is what pushed it over. Because in Temple of Doom, you know, he literally pulls his fucking heart out. But yeah.
No.
So
this was a year after PG-13 was created.
Yeah, because Temple of Doom was 84, which makes sense. But either way.
Yes, it is Gremlins and Temple of Doom that are referenced. Sorry, go ahead.
I mean, I'm a nerd. So, like, I hate when, like, movies like now, like, people are like, well, if you were to set this in whatever it'd be, what, 95? I hate that shit. But, like,
yeah.
This movie's just so good. Like, McFly's so good. And I'm trying to, like, but, like, I think my weakest link of this movie is like, and I understand like Crispin Glover is an acquired taste, but man, he feels like he's in a different movie as a, whatever the hell Marty's dad's name is, as escaping
George.
Man. George.
But yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of George though, is that he's just so detached from what is going on in the world around him.
I think
like he's just not like, that's the whole idea of George is he's
feels like to me, and it's not just George. It's like Marty's family outside of Marty, like Marty is like his own thing.
And right. He's grounded in his own reality and everybody else's
whatever.
Yeah.
And then like, and I think, I don't know, maybe they didn't purposely do that, but I think it makes it, I think that's part of the greatness of it, honestly.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely to what you're saying there. I mean, it is that everybody involved is
Because
not
even
everybody, but Biff, George, and Lorraine are all still grounded in, let's call it 1 week in 1955. That's the way they're still living their lives. Yeah. 30 years later. Mm-hmm. Biff's making the same jokes to George. He's doing the same stuff to George, to Marty, that he did to George when he was in high school. Lorraine has come out of this whole, we get the explanation of the Florence Nightingale effect.
Yeah.
Of she fell in love because he was helpless, and that's nurses fall in love with helpless patients.
Right.
And then they kind of come out of it.
Let's
and
discuss
so she's George. Miserable, and that's where it is. I mean,
well, here's the thing. She should be miserable because, like, she falls in love with George. The version of George that we find before Marty fucks everything up, he's a peeping Tom. He's literally peeping on her.
With zero backbone, confidence, anything.
In the tree, and, like, he gets hit by a car. Also, Marty has, like, five fucking concussions in this movie and the next one, but that's fine.
It's all right. We're a long way away from CTE. It's okay.
I mean,
he wasn't even born yet. It can't affect him.
And he's just like, so let's discuss. All right. I am just buzzed not to get into this. This whole subplot of this fucking movie is his mom wanting to fuck their son in a PG movie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And she lays it on thick. And she does it well.
She's also Zoe Deschanel's
Deschanel's
mom, which is,
I didn't know that.
Wild me, but it's,
I think the for the
why does he have his pants off in that bed? She took his pants off in the bed.
So again, I'm as we often have to do, we're gonna apply the context of. This is the 80s, and they did
55
a little different. Well, that's, yeah, right. But the movie, it's made in the 80s. I don't know, but it kind of...
The head, like, that it was injured is not below his belt, Lorraine. All right,
like, but it goes along with the, it's like, it's this shock for Marty that, like, his mom that he knows is always, like, preaching and, like, harping about, like, oh, like, no, you have to be good.
What kind of woman, what kind of girl goes after a boy?
Men, women don't, you know, chase men and what, like, all this stuff. And so it goes into that big, like, shock thing for him, right? And he has to, like, deal with this. Oh, the woman my mom was, or that I know, like, there was some stuff that changed her. She was way different when she was, because they do the drinking thing and the smoking thing in the car and, like, just all of that stuff that goes into it. And, like, does it need to be there? I don't know, but it is part of the, like, holy shit, like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
also, like,
comedy, right?
The balls on George to be in a tree in broad daylight, like, with binoculars, like, that's how you end up in federal prison, George. Like,
well, back then, probably not. You probably just get your ass beat, like, pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, if her dad doesn't hit you with the car, but he sees you up in the tree, he just shoots you with a shotgun, and then the town just goes, yeah, I don't know, and that is what it is.
I mean, fucking Hill Valley. But yeah, like, and, like, Leah Thompson's fucking right, great.
On. Sorry. So you said, yeah, the Hill Valley thing. Where was this shot? Do we know, like?
It's a Universal backlot, man. It's, like, one of the most famous backlots.
Is it literally just?
Yeah, it's one of the most famous backlots of all time. They reuse it for all kinds of shit.
That's the kind of stuff that I don't, like, think to look up. And then as we start podcasting.
It's still there. Like, so if you go to Universal Studios LA, like, you can still see this backlot.
Okay. It looked, I mean, it doesn't look.
It looks back a lot.
I mean, now it does. When I looked at it, I was like, that looks like it's probably back,
like,
a lot.
The courthouse, like, in the court, and which makes it easier when it's a back lot, so they can, like, just, like, I love.
Just throw something up against it.
Well, yeah. This movie is so rewatchable. Trademark. Not our trademark, but, like, because, like, they switch so many things. So if you watch the first 20 minutes, like, it's called Twin Pines Mall. Did you guys catch the, it's now called One Pine Mall, or Lone Pine Ball at the end. Yeah. Because he runs over the tree.
Because he hits the tree.
And like the bum the homeless guy in the beginning is the current mayor in 55. And like it's just so like it's so clever about like little shit, like you know, obviously the
clock tower. I mean they do a good job of trying to, I don't know if consistency is the word, but carry through the lines of what is.
They do a good job of
trying. What was to connecting everything, I guess, is everything. Just the easiest way to put it.
I mean, it's clever. It's great. Travel.
Like, you can't, I don't, yeah. I mean, it's fun. I mean, I'm glad they did that stuff, but.
Even the first time that Barney's in the little diner and, you know, he sees the guy who's talking about
it. They still make tab. Is tab still a thing? Can we
drink it? I don't think you can get a tab still. you sure shit can't get a Pepsi free, I'll tell you that.
One calorie, by the way, or whatever.
But yeah, when the guy that's working there, when Goldie's working there, and the guy gets on him and just like, oh yeah, you're blah blah blah,
you're gonna be mayor, you should be mayor,
you're gonna be mayor. And he goes, yeah, that's a great idea, I'll clean colored up this mayor, whole town.
You can't be serious. He's like, I'm gonna do
that'll
it.
Be the day. Yeah,
or the fact that the goddamn principal, like, goddamn bum, what's he calling? Slacker. Goddamn slacker, McFly.
Yeah. Fucking,
he's also the answer for, like, the famous actor in small roles. He's the dude from fucking Top Gun. You know, I don't know what the fuck else he did besides this movie in Top Gun. He's the guy in the tower. He gets buzzed twice.
Yeah. Oh,
really? I mean, I didn't know that, or I didn't recognize that. But...
Really? Bald angry dude.
No, I know who you're talking about.
So, all right, let's just get to it, because what's everyone's favorite quote? There's so many favorite quotes in this goddamn movie. So many memorable quotes.
I'm
gonna
ask a question that might be really fucking stupid, and I don't know. And
I love yelling at you. Let's go. Let's have at it.
Google to figure it out.
Okay.
Is this the origination of "So why don't you make like a tree and get the fuck out of here"?
I mean, Jake, probably, because it's actually "Why don't you make like a tree and leave? So, yes.
Does he say leaf?
Yeah, he sure should have said "get the fuck out of here." It's a PG movie.
Get out. Sorry, get out of here. I don't think
he says so. Biff fucks it up, because Biff always fucks it up.
It's probably a play on that.
No. I'm saying that direct quote. So get out of here. Like I understand that the real thing would be leaf.
Okay. You're gonna make me Google this shit.
Well, okay. So it's not a stupid fucking question, because I was like, that's a thing that I've heard for a long time, but I don't know.
It's
a quote from
I don't think it's a stupid question, and I don't think you're going to find any answers on Google for it. I think it is probably the origination of at least a pop culture reference of a straight up boil it down to the, you know, misquote of, yeah, make like a tree and get out of here.
I think Jake.
I mean, I'm sure that I'm guessing in Boondock Saints that is a little bit of a callback on that one.
Okay.
I have not seen Boondock Saints,
like,
in a minute.
I understood that it was a like a someone stupid fucking up the make like a tree and leaf.
Correct. Yeah, it's an idiom. It's a misnomer of an expression.
I have not seen Boondock Saints in so long. I forgot that was from Boondock Saints. I should show it to my 14-year-old. I bet he'd love that.
That'd be very problematic. Yeah, I bet he would. You should show him Green Tree Hooligans, too.
Dude, he already fucking watched Green Tree Hooligans, and he loved it. He went as Tyler Durden for Halloween. So, I mean, which more problematic?
I had to watch all those movies in secret when I was 14. You're just showing them to your kids.
13. And, I mean, it's either...
That's better.
It's either he watches it with me or he doesn't. Like, that's the question. Like, doesn't help that Uncle Ricky's out there being like, you should watch fucking Fight Club. Like, because like his kids are fucking 3 and 1. So,
well, Uncle Ricky's a little bit of a different human being.
Less black market. It's.
I feel like there's less sex in fucking. Anyways, fair quote of the goddamn movie. Should we do fair quote and most like the best gif? Is that the same question?
Is
really,
the most famous one Rhodes at the end?
No, probably.
I think it's probably the most famous quote.
I honestly didn't have that many quotes. I sat down to watch the movie thinking that I might remember more of it than I did, thinking I may have watched it at some point and just didn't recall, and I didn't. So I actually was pretty just watching the movie and not.
I mean, Gray Scott is pretty high up there.
Okay, I had that noted, but I felt like that came from somewhere else. Did that not come from somewhere else? Was that?
It might have come from somewhere else. This movie made it famous. Like Gray Scott,
Think at some point, I don't know if I read it, seen it somewhere, whatever.
An old ass from a novel somewhere.
I think it got used one time in an old sci-fi sort of thing, but that's where Doc Brown using it over and over again made it a huge deal sort of thing. I want to say it's a Star Trek thing, maybe not. An original
Star
Trek thing.
That's fucking Scotty. That's great Scott. You know what I got, Scotty?
You're going to sit here and lecture. You want to lecture me on the history of science fiction?
I mean, I might.
Also,
the best quote of the movie is, when this thing hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious shit. that's the best quote of the goddamn movie.
I mean, my best quote of the movie is, very much every single time I hear Johnny Be Good, anytime.
Oh my
anywhere,
God, it's Marvin!
No
oh
matter
my
what, it's hey Chuck. You know that new sound you've been looking for?
It's your cousin Marvin.
It's your cousin Marvin. Marvin Berry.
Dude, I said that.
I think I just found it.
I had seen I remember that part. I was like, oh yeah, I'm familiar with that. I've watch that in a clip.
It's my favorite part of the movie.
Sat down and watched that movie or that part.
My first college roommate, we used to just say that randomly at each other. I sent a photo of the quote on closed captions to him, and he sent me back that if this movie was made in 1997, it'd be corn. And it's like, hey, it's your brother Marvin Davis, and then it's a corn guy.
Yeah, it's your cousin Marvin, Marvin Berry. I wrote down a couple.
A new sound you're looking for.
A couple that I've never really noticed before, ever paid attention to. It was when they go to the high school, when he goes back to 1955, and Marty throws in a, whoa, they cleaned this place up a bunch. It looks brand new. Gave me a good little chuckle.
And how about then, this shit's heavy? What's the density of this have to do with anything?
What's the weight of it have to do with anything?
When he meets Doc and Doc's got this whole fucking mind reader thing on, and then he gets through the end of it and he goes, well, we know this doesn't work at all.
Who's the president? Then, Ronald Reagan, the actor? Yeah,
the actor? You're not from the future.
President Jerry Lewis?
Vice President. Who's the Vice President Jerry Lewis? That is actually a really good line. I didn't note that, but that was a good.
When George walks in to ask Lorraine to the dance, and he walks up to the bar and just slams down a quarter and just, Lou, give me a milk.
He slides it over.
I'm going to start doing that at every bar I go to, and it's going to be a disaster, but I'm excited to do it.
He slides it to him. You're my density. What? You're my destiny.
Yeah, well, and right before, I think it's a scene before that when he's, oh, no. It's before the rigging the whole, he's going to feel up Lorraine in the car and just And then you drop your line, George, just get your damn hands off her. And he's like, should I swear? And he goes, yeah, God damn it, George, you need to swear.
So speaking of the quotes, the most famous gif from this movie is George writing down the notebook, right? Like when he says, like, keep going or whatever. Like, that's a gif. He's like, I'm taking notes or whatever. You're staring at me like an idiot.
I'm writing this down. This is good stuff.
Yes, yes. That's the most famous gif. It has to be the most famous gif, right? Or the most used one.
I don't know. The one I've used the most is, I guess you guys aren't ready for that yet.
I feel like there's a lot of gifs in this movie. Okay.
So I mean, anytime I'm going to get real fucked up, it's about time travel gif gets tossed out. Like, because it's not blocking out your time traveling, because no one can prove that you didn't just step in their wormhole and popped out 3 hours later.
So I wasn't staring at you. I've been clicking through some articles trying to skim and figure it out. There's Winfield Scott was a commanding general of the U.S. Army in like the 1850s or something.
1850s.
So it's kind of the closest thing I can find that it was then for some reason turned into an exclamation of Great Scott.
Great Scott.
And then it kind of shows up for a little while periodically in some things. And then Doc Brown's catchphrase is Great Scott.
Fucking 65-year-old Doc Brown hanging out with a 17-year-old fucking Marty.
I feel like, yeah, I felt like it had to come from somewhere. So I was like trying to hopefully quickly find it. There wasn't anything super easy to find, but
I had not heard the dogs bark in like a half hour. So that's a good sign, right?
Maybe they're taking a nap.
I mean, that sounds sad. All right.
No, like that was a hopeful, like maybe they're just not
doing I'm sure they are. Like, right? I'm sure they're fine. So like, yeah, like, no, I think to me, I think the most used gif has to be the, that's the ghost of I'm writing this down, right? Like reaction gif. Like no one uses Great Scott. Like there was a scene in this earlier. We're gonna get to a minute. Like that should have been a reaction. It's when Lorraine comes to Doc Brown's house and tries hitting on Marty.
Mm-hmm.
And like he says some version of like, damn it. Or like God, or some version, like we're like he's mad at Marty for like continuing to like fuck around with his mom, which for a PG movie, that's a lot of like pretty heavy. We should bring back heavy for reaction. Maybe we could bring that back. That's heavy. No.
I mean, I feel like it's less used, but still used. It's actually used more sparingly, so it actually carries weight.
It carries weight because it's heavy.
I mean, not like, yeah. I mean, but that's kind of the whole point of it is like it's something that's carrying a lot of weight, right? That's the way that you use it in context. Like, that's heavy.
So I know Sean about her, man. So what's like your least favorite part or something that took you out of it? It's got to be the whole like sexual assault, the end part, right? Because like that's just.
I mean, the. Like it's a lot when George finally gets there and
Marty's plan is terrible in the first, like he's just like, I'm gonna get too handsy, and he says some version like,
yeah,
well, like, good girls would stop me, and I'm just like,
Well, he also is like literally says to her like, do you ever like think you know what you have to do but you don't want to do it? And it's, yeah, like I just, that whole thing is like, yeah, I don't.
So Sean, what is something that's like took you out of the movie?
Definitely,
it's like,
definitely the plan, like, and then the way it rolls out for me. Yeah, for sure. Right.
But also, like, it also leads to a great part where, like, Biff has his arm twisted behind him and he's like talking shit. And, like, I love when George is just like, I love a good realization part of me where, like, George is like, fuck this guy. Like, I'm gonna fuck this guy up. You know, like, you know, Biff has, like,
I just
at least 6 inches on him.
I mean, I don't know. To me, like the way
it's all bad. Goes
down, it just like it doesn't even have that. He doesn't like suddenly snap into like being confident in himself. He like, even after he has his arm twisted and like clenches his fist and preloads and throws the most like.
Yeah, it's one of those things that like
ever.
What I'm guessing is to hop on what you guys were saying is this whole little plan of Marty, I mean, admitting, does the little turn away of taking advantage of a woman, like expressly says that in the movie about, and then you fake fight me and then you win her over. Obviously things go south and all of that.
And I mean, and like obviously.
And then I think the whole point of, I think some of that is supposed to be the whole like, oh, Biff's only strong because his boys are around. I mean, he's not that big. He's big enough, but it is like, it's the whole thing of, well, he's only big because his boys support him, and his boys went and chased Marty off and then said some very incredibly problematic things to the band at their car.
Spooks.
Who are you calling a spook or whatever that guy gets out of the car? Like, yeah, fuck you, buddy. What are you
gonna do? Then reefer smokers or reefer addicts?
Reefer addicts. Yep.
But yeah, and then so Biff just left on his own, and yeah, it's not even a cold cock. He doesn't knock him out. He gives him the old okie doke. Like Biff does a whole pirouette and just falls against the car. He cartoon punches. Well,
he was knocked out on the ground. Like he was laying on the ground. Biff was laying on the ground. He was knocked out, quote unquote.
Okay, so I know. To you, Tez, 6'2" isn't tall, because you're tall. But 6'2" is pretty tall. That's how tall Biff is. And Michael J. Fox is a small motherfucker.
Michael J. Fox is like my height. I mean,
So Thomas F. Wilson, who's Biff, is 6'3", give or take.
Yeah, but Michael J. Fox isn't the one hitting him.
God damn, you look up Crispin Glover's fucking height. All right.
He's gotta be like 5'11".
What is fat?
How the fuck do you know that?
Because
I watched the movie.
Because which of us was right?
I haven't looked him up yet, but you act like you fucking knew his height immediately. You're like, he's 5'10".
Buddy, I've been like short as shit my whole life. I've been able to judge height.
Oh, god damn. I don't want to say how tall he is because then Sean's gonna be right and I'm gonna get pissed off.
Because he's 6'1".
He's 6'1". Fuck you, how'd you know that?
Oh, I thought you said he was okay. Mine.
I watched them stand next to each other in the movie. Well, I
thought he was more than a couple inches shorter than him. But
it's not like this was a Rocky versus Ivan Drago sort of thing where Stallone had to stand on stilts.
Well, it's not really about.
But also, I know he's the smaller, squirrely nerd dude, about the like
gangly, non-confident, like,
and he does the whole. And it takes him a long time to even decide to ball up that fist and turn around and swing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a whole thing.
Anybody
paying any attention, at least the way they set it up, is not going to get hit in at least in the jaw by that punch.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I do like the guy plays Biff, though. Like, I've seen him on a bunch of since then.
Oh, he's good.
He's good shit. Like, he's a real good sense of humor for me, and like the fact that like forever he's Biff. You know, like that's.
I mean, if there would have been more college football movies that weren't the program in 1985, he would have been in all of them. If they made Blue Mountain State in 1985,
Leah Thompson, he would have been the linebacker. Whatever. Anyways, yeah. I mean, you could have been even John Reacher. All right,
yeah.
I got there. Castle. All right.
Forever. Okay. I don't give a shit what he does. He's forever Thad Castle.
He's fucking Reacher, man. Fucking Reacher. He's fucking.
No, I understand. I know what he's done. Yeah.
He's Thad Castle.
He's forever Thad Castle.
I love Reacher. Like, I get so much pleasure out of like watching Reacher and like some dumbass townies that start fucking with him, and I'm like, oh, you're all gonna see him
stupid ass motherfuckers realistically would ever miss
that. They're always like 1 foot short. Eric, what is something from this movie that you did not realize was from this movie? Is there anything?
I mean,
I don't think so.
If this was the origination of So Why Don't You make like a tree and get out of here. Like the like misuse, but like I hear it all
it
the
has
time
to be.
Of that. Then that would have to be it, I think.
I always forget there's a huge ass Darth Vader fucking drop in this movie until I watch it. And a Spock drop, but like,
oh yeah, speaks Vulcan,
yeah,
from
yeah.
Planet
Vulcan,
yeah,
yeah. So
great Scott as well, I guess. I mean, it's not probably technically it doesn't originate here, but like that, as far as pop culture goes, it does. So that would be
so
one that I didn't know was actually from here.
Hang on. You did not. You all right? You said you had not seen this movie all the way through. Okay, yeah. Like, so, to me, Great Scott is also Doc Brown. It's always Doc Brown. Great Scott is Doc Brown.
I knew. Okay, so I knew it was a Doc Brown thing.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is, like, some of like for both of those things, especially for Great Scott, because that seems like a something that could be an exclamation from a long time ago, which I think is probably the actual origination. But the, as far as like pop culture, yes, it's from here.
Okay. So like in this movie, it goes back to 55. And I feel like right now it'd also be 1995. Like I think we're like 5 years away from like, if you were to go back 30 years, it would not be a big deal. Like 95 now, like a 17-year-old would not have cell phones in 95. Like, but like in 2000, we had cell phones in 2000. Like, so like,
and you had them, but you still
they existed.
Another,
but yeah.
Like, it was not. It was like everyone. From
and also,
the
there's
age,
a just a good handful of things that change about a year after 2000.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I'm just saying, like,
movie, but I think you're another. I think we're another 10 years off, at least, from being like technology changes wouldn't be that shocking to people.
Right?
If you made this movie,
chocolate milk. Jesus Christ.
Because 2005 would be a lot closer to most people having like at least a cell phone and maybe like, internet access in some way on a cell phone.
So we're going to combine these two. Is there any goosebumps or slash favorite moment of the movie?
Oh, yeah. Also,
my favorite movie is everything of Marvin Davis. Marvin.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite
I'm
part
Marvin
of
Davis.
The movie is the playing Johnny B. Goode. Like, that is.
You know, Marty's a terrible
every
guitar player.
Every single time. Correct.
You watch him play, he's awful.
He's absolutely atrocious. But every time I see it, every time I hear it, it is Back to the Future's in my head.
Yeah.
It will always live there. It's one of the few movie song crossover things that wasn't a song made for a movie sort of thing that sticks in my brain.
And Huey, knew, one of the more famous. Huey Lewis in the News is like massive. You know, so that's not like he's a.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
And they, it's not massive to us, but like.
They stick with me for a different movie.
I mean, Patrick Bateman, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
but yeah, I mean, that's my favorite part of the movie. I don't know. There's a. I mean, maybe a goosebumps. That's a good slide on that chocolate milk. That's just immaculate.
I think for me, and I don't know for sure. What did we say? The sequel didn't come out till 89.
Sequels are great. You should watch them.
No, I agree. Been a blind.
Maybe not great, but like,
well, worth watching.
Second one takes place in 2015 with flying cars. So, I mean,
but
yeah, it talks about the Cubs winning the World Series. So,
I mean, obviously, that's fake.
But what I was gonna say for I don't know if it's the best part, but like it's kind of fun, especially considering how they did the second one and what I, you know, the stuff I know from that is like roads where we're going, we don't need roads. And then
flying car,
they
man,
fly
like
off the flying car thing. And like, I don't think there's any goosebumps like
the last
of the movie for me, but like that is a pretty good way, especially knowing in context of what's to come. Like that, the end, the very end of the movie is a pretty good way to do it.
To me, the best part is like that 10-minute stretch towards the end, like with Doc and the lightning bolt and like everything kind of unconnected. And like that's a great 10-minute stretch of an action movie. Like he's trying to give him the goddamn letter. Doc's like, fuck you. He's up top in like, he has a slide down, like reconnect him again. Like all while trying to time him driving 88 miles fucking hour.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree with that.
Don't point towards a goddamn dead end. That's my only fucking complaint. Like he drove in that goddamn theater. Like, we appointed a different direction.
Well, and that's the whole thing, I guess, if you really want to dive into all of these things of sort of everything's thought out, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's why the way the car is positioned in 1985 is the way he gets back, is the way he saves Doc. And it all is about how the cars are positioned and where they come back to. But yeah, just some of them could be a little better thought out.
But no, that's just an amazing scene though. Like I said, like just like the culmination of like all the things that keep happening. So like Doc's up top on top of that Panther statue, it doesn't connect. Then he makes it connect, but then the bomb doesn't connect. Oh, well, Marty's like speeding towards a spot, you know, like it's a great 10 minutes of like ratcheting up the tension, you know.
It's good. There's just a lot of like the first like 3-4 minutes. Sorry to interrupt you, Jake. Is just them screaming at each other. The future. What?
And you're gonna like, die.
This is wildly pointless. They just, well, you're out of time. You have to go now. And it's just okay. Like,
which was the point of that interaction?
Right. It felt a little dragged out in that. I felt like they could have done it.
Did either one of you...
with four less whats from Doc Brown at the top of the city hall?
Either one of you, when you got to where he has a bulletproof vest on, not have a flashback to Dumb and Dumber when he's like, but we would have shot you in the head?
The letter literally says
take precautions. Like, what if he got a headshot? What if the Libyans would have headshotted him? Like, that bulletproof press ain't helping at all. So this is a risk I was willing to take, Lloyd.
They didn't get him the first time around in the head, you know?
You didn't know that. All right, my memory is bad. We know this. And I understand that Lorraine and George don't hang out with Marty for a week in the 55. But at what point when their child is named Marty, did they start being like, this kid has fucking personality traits of this guy's from the 50?
That's one of the, like, you got to just kind of let it go type of thing. I mean,
my memory is so bad. Well,
So the goofy part of this, and I really try not to get too like in depth on like time travel, because time travel gets really fucking goofy and it just doesn't make sense a lot of the time. But like, okay, let's just assume that that's the time happened and Marty grew up and did the time travel and did the loop, and it doesn't.
It's called a bootstrap paradox.
But it.
It's strictly, it affects everybody except him.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, at some point, like, he never should have grown up in that way. And then, yeah, it's fucking goofy. But even, okay, we'll just ignore all of that and just assume that he was able to come into this loop and do that. Yeah, at what point do his parents not realize that, oh, we named him Marty,
and he has the same
person. Just like this person that we met when we were 17 years old in high school.
Right. And like, I understand, like, it's been 30 years, but like when he's a 10-year-old, he's going to have the personality traits.
It's just one of those things that like you have to.
I mean, if you're George, at some point you got to start thinking,
She fucked him. Where's Marty?
No,
at?
It's just.
Oh,
it's,
man, she was super into that guy back in high school.
It's
the George is such an idiot. He's not tracking that shit. I'm just saying.
Well, no, and the modern one is not an idiot. He's a confident, like, successful.
Yeah, guy. He has. All right. I don't want to get into, but like, they have a nice ass house in the new future, and that, but yet it's his first book that sold. How are they affording that nice ass house?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. No, I thought about that too. I know you get advances on books. They ain't that much money for.
No, I assume he's like already successful in something else as well.
Maybe he did
the most. Maybe annoying.
No. Gonna say maybe he sold some of his sci-fi writings, but it's his first book.
The most annoying
part
of this whole fucking movie that involves time travel is Marty gets that truck and it's pointed towards the inner side of the goddamn garage.
It's parked cockeyed.
It's just how you
cockeyed, right? And the yard is in front of it, so there's no fucking way that truck gets in there like that.
Well,
so it would take a lot of work to make it. You would have to intentionally park it that way.
Exactly.
But why would you?
Because it's a fucking Toyota ad, buddy.
We don't need to dive into all of this. I listened to All Fantasy Everything like 3 weeks ago. They did a trucks draft, and I believe that exact truck went pop culture trucks. That truck went like third overall in their draft.
It's a good pick.
That's exactly what that was. That was like you could.
I'm gonna take the truck from Twister that literally a tornado can't pick up. Number one, just saying.
That would have been a good pick.
Jake,
I did miss one last quote that I had that just for everything involved was just it's a good little quote to throw in, and it's when Marty's late getting to the meetup at City Hall or Town Hall, whatever it is, to actually start doing the stuff. And Doc Brown just throws in the "Do you have no concept of time?" It's a good one. It's layers. It's a rude There's line. Layers
it's a,
to this.
Fucking rude line right after. Or not, it's rude.
It actually does stand out a little bit as far as just the context of the movie. Doesn't make a lot of sense. Back to the truck. Like, you literally are never going to... No one is ever going to realistically park the truck like that. Yes, Ted, you're right.
It bothered me so fucking much.
But have you ever looked at how vehicles get parked in a showroom or whatever?
I understand that, but how the fuck's it in there? Like, it's so close to the wall. It had to come in from the back.
No, you drive it in and turn the wheels.
You back it in, turn it, maybe pull it forward a little bit. I mean, yeah. It's like parallel parking, just not parallel. All
right. I kind of want to do Back to the Future 2 for our show. And
perpendicular parking.
Parallel parking? Perpendicular parking's a whole different thing. I don't know.
Well, they were just shot in the head, boy.
The way that truck is parked is basically perpendicular parking.
I mean, it's like 45 in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. We can.
No, we don't.
It's math. Hypotenuse parking.
No, there's no call out for 45. It's acute or obtuse. Hypotenuse is hypotenuse is the long side of the triangle.
Okay, no, that makes any sense to me.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's also sorry.
Yes, Ted, we can do.
It's the line splitting the garage from corner.
If we do the second one,
I follow you on that. That's right.
If we do part two, we just need to do part two, part three, and just like put it in the one.
We can do. Well, I don't know. You would know better than that. We can do those. I don't know that we need to do them next, but I do know that you admitted to not ever seeing Dead Poets Society, and
so I haven't seen it.
Very much need to do that.
I love Ethan Hawke. I should do that soon.
The thing is, I think if we do the next ones, part two is going to take some time because the entire premise is finding the sports almanac and rigging sports betting for 30 years.
I mean, we could spend an hour discussing how we would do that without getting, you know, shot and killed in an alleyway.
Yeah, like, exactly. So let's not try and.
Okay,
we could do two
pack
and then
that one in.
I mean, from what I'm gathering, we could do two and then maybe tack three on a little bit.
Yeah, you know, they're
from what I'm gathering.
The thing I hate about two is like it literally ends like on a massive cliffhanger.
Because I knew they were gonna do three.
Three came out 7 months later. All right, empty the notebook. Anybody got anything in the notebook?
Tez.
The only thing I had left was. Marty does initially let that kiss with his mom go on way too long. And he doesn't even react. She pulls off. And then past that, if and when I ever get married, I don't know how I'll pull it off, but Marvin Berry and the Starlighters will be playing at my wedding.
I love when all the doors open in that car and there's like fucking seven of them.
Oh, also, is George McFly ever trying to not get hit by a car? Because he's just constantly in streets getting honked at
by cars. I mean, he's literally in broad daylight with binoculars.
I will say George is, it's hilarious. And for the movie, you do it for the plot, whatever. But he's a fucking idiot in the beginning of the movie.
Just so like, absolutely so Crispin no Glover, societal awareness.
So literally they bring back George McFly for the sequel and they recast him because Crispin Glover and the director like kept getting into it.
But
and
like,
then,
but like you have this.
And then he's, go ahead.
Well, my point was like, he's so dumb of a person in the beginning to go along with the, like no confidence or anything. Right.
Yeah.
And then just to shift, like, I don't think a person giving you advice and confidence and a decision shifting, like, how your life goes makes you not be an idiot anymore. Like, I don't think it affects his intelligence, but, like, he literally, like, some of the stuff he does early in the movie is, like, unintelligent. And then after Marty goes back, you know, the whole family dynamic change.
Yeah.
It's apparently like super successful and whatever. It's like,
okay. I agree with you. There's definitely a, at best, let's call it a suspension of belief sort of thing.
Right.
Of where, yeah, he has one moment in high school now where he punches the bully.
Right.
And now all of a sudden he is just the most confident and he's the cockiest and he's the smartest and he's
right.
And as you were saying, it's not even just the awareness was in the fucking toilet from the beginning. Like he doesn't even know what's going on around him. You don't just confidence doesn't fix that.
Like social intelligence.
I've worked with people who are confident, but they have no idea what the fuck's going on around them.
Right.
Yeah, and it doesn't make you smart. It doesn't make you successful. It makes you probably do more dumb shit than you would probably end up doing in the long term.
That's what kills me about. And it's like, again, there's a lot of things about the movie and time travel and all the stuff that you can pick apart. It's just like the shift happens. It's like this one.
And he turns into this much more connected moment. Family man sort of, you know?
It's like, okay, I mean, I get right. Like I get that you're gonna the butterfly effect type of thing, like the time travel.
I mean,
like you're gonna
the have fact that it's starting more. Like I work school today. When we had the feature.
We totally know what you just said. Say that again.
My internet died. That's fine.
Yeah, when you turn your video on, I don't think it like that. Go ahead.
No, but like in the future, like you would come out like how like towards a more connected family guy, like. The older brother's in a suit and tux on a Saturday morning being like, yeah, man. But like Marty's alarm was off at 10:30 in the morning. So where the fuck is this guy?
That's why when we were talking about it earlier, it's like Marty.
Well, because on Saturday mornings, he sleeps in.
Well, but I think that's
we've reversed the roles.
It's part of the beauty, or I don't even know if it's beauty, but it's just part of the way that the character arcs and like stories work is like Marty's never really connected to other stuff. It's him and Doc Brown and the storyline, and then in the future it's like him having to solve the problem, but like he's never like in the pat or in the original storyline, he's way different than his dad. His mom's an alcoholic, his siblings like don't really know, and then he comes back after he makes changes and like he's not anything like what they are.
Well, it's right, like, and like I don't need to call it, but like in time travel movies like this, those dogs are so angry outside. Do you think his memories come back? Like, or is he just gonna be playing catch up the whole goddamn time?
Marty?
Yeah.
His memories come back from
like the way like the that memories
things that, changed in between? No.
Yeah, like
no, he only has the memories that he has and loops around.
So like he's gonna be playing catch up.
Right.
Yeah, he's gonna have to piece in what actually happened in this timeline.
Correct.
To what it was, and it's somehow another, still ended up dating goofy, the same girl, which is crazy.
It's another goofy time.
Well, she's not the same girl in the second one because she's a different actress. But you know, yeah.
It's why time travel is.
It's a fickle bitch.
I mean, just
and that's why, like,
to try and plan a plot around and like make storylines around. It's so difficult.
And that's why I mentioned earlier, and like I know when he like. This literally is like the definition of a boot. It's called a bootstrap paradox. Where basically, like, if he doesn't go back in time, this shit does not happen. But yet, if he doesn't go back, like, if the shit doesn't happen, he doesn't go back in time. So, like,
no, that's what I'm saying is like the whole, like him going back in time with Doc Brown, but then apparently Doc Brown doesn't know who he is in the beginning of the movie. Like that's why I said you have to make the assumption that you have this line of time that comes to it, and then it makes this weird loop.
And right. Yeah.
Does
that's the whole thing. That's the
problem with like actual time travel logically. So.
Yeah. Like.
Yeah, you can talk yourself in circles on all of it, just because. Yeah, if he never gets in that car, he doesn't ever erase himself. Yeah. But if he erases himself, he never gets in the car. Right. So then he exists. And yeah, I mean, it's just.
That's what makes it fun, though.
That's
quantum physics, baby.
That's why string theory exists.
Yeah. I mean, anyway. The Futurama episode is the worst of them because, like, Fry goes back in time and has sex with his mom, makes himself.
Yeah, they do back in time. Yep. That's a playoff. Yep.
I was deep into it when I was 17, and it was really good. I didn't get into drugs at that point because the world would have lost me.
Oh, I love OG Futurama. Oh, God.
Man, that dog episode is rough. Yep. Anyways, boys, until next time, it's your cousin, Marvin.
Marvin Barry.
Marvin Barry.
You know that new sound you're looking for? Listen to this. All right. That's later, great. Guys.